You're listening to a podcast from Every Nation Macau. With all the things going on all over the world, it is true that people are in dire need of light. A light that had been fulfilled through Jesus. So why is it important to heed the gospel of Christ? Let's all listen to this message of salvation and hope.
Again, welcome to our third service. Again, every Sunday we have three services. Okay, we start our day on a Sunday. Our service starts at 9. Then we have another one at 11 and 8 p.m. All right, so I'm just excited because I realized that this coming week we're going to have our Engage campaign. Okay, so how many of you are participating in our Engage campaign? Okay, evangelistic campaign. Wow. So, a rallying cry for this evangelistic campaign is reach one, or each one reach one. Okay, each one, reach one, each one. Okay, each one reach one. That means to say you can reach one person, especially, you know, those whom you know, you're already connected. Maybe among your friends in your workplace or workmates or your dormitories or apartment, okay, you can invite them, okay, into your victory group or even here in the church, okay? So our goal is really to connect these people to the church, okay? So this will be a great opportunity for us to really, as we rally together in advancing the kingdom of God. Amen? So anyway, I would like to read from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 5 and 6. I want you to turn your Bibles there. Verse 5 and verse 6. Let me read it. It says, "And now the Lord says, He who formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him, and that Israel might be gathered to Him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Lord, I pray also that you would open our spiritual ears to hear what your spirit is saying. Amen. So anyway, our new series is entitled Light for the Nations. This series will help us understand the heart of God for the nations. You know, John chapter 3, verse 16, and this is quite familiar scripture for all of us, for many of us. It says there, "But you will receive power." No. Okay, but or love is patient. "For God so loved the world, but He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So you can see there God's love, because of the compassion, because of the love of God for the world, not just for a chosen people, but for the world. Okay, that includes the person next to you. That's the reason why He sent His only begotten Son. Amen. That whoever believes in Him, in Jesus, will not perish. Aren't you glad that, you know, God sent His only begotten Son to save us? Amen. So that's basically what this series is all about. You know, knowing the heart of God for the nations. And today I'm going to talk about, you know, this is a back-to-back series. And today I'm going to talk about the servant who brought the light here in this world. Now, as I start, how many of you here had the worst experience being in another place? You visited a place and you had a worst experience. How many of you experienced that? Okay, I remember when I was still in the elementary school, I joined a camp, Boy Scout, okay, camp in Baguio City. Of course, Baguio is, you know, in Luzon, up north, and during December, and you know, it was December, and it was really cold. I think the climate or the temperature then was 13 degrees, and it was really cold. And we, I came from down south, from Bicol region, so we went up, we took a bus with along with my classmates. Okay, we went up to Baguio City. December, it was too cold, and we arrived there. Okay, when we arrived, we camped in a elementary school, okay, ground. We were there, okay, we were excited, and later on we found out that there was no running water. Okay, we didn't have problem with drinking water. Our problem is the running water in the toilet. All right, so the following day, when we checked the faucet, there was no water still, and we were like, man, we have to take a bath. It's like because yesterday there was no water, and up until now, there is no running water. So me and my friends, we were allowed to find a place where we can take a bath. And can you imagine? We were marching, looking for a place where we can take a bath in Baguio City. See, during the time, okay, since we were still small, clueless, where are we going to find a place? But we would check out different places. We would ask around if there's any public place where we can take a bath. So we were really disappointed. After checking a lot of places, okay, we were really searching and searching. We went for hours looking for a place. We were exhausted, very much disappointed. And finally, we found a bus terminal. And we asked the staff, we look at, right beside this bus terminal, there was this running water. Okay, I think they're using that for, to clean all the buses. And we asked the staff, the bus terminal, can you please allow us to take a bath? And many of us were there, and we took a bath, and it was too cold. And not only that the water was cold, the water was also smelly. And we really have to, man. I tell you, that was I couldn't forget that experience up until now, because that is one of my most unforgettable, one of my worst experiences being in another place. Now, why did I share that? Because, I like you, perhaps, we don't like being in a situation where we will feel like miserable. Amen? How many of you here, you want to feel miserable in your life? Of course not. Not only that I felt miserable, but I felt pitiful. Maybe you are here today and that's exactly what you feel. You came here tonight and you are just, man, you feel like your world is not aligning based on what you want it to be. You feel pitiful about yourself because of your current situation. Now, what do you do when you feel in a mess? Okay, because of your terrible situation or condition. And you see, that is the exact condition or that is exactly what the nation of Israel felt when they were taken into captivity to Babylon. So, if we go back to the scripture, let's go back to the scripture that we have read a while ago. But here, I want to give you a bit of background of Isaiah. Isaiah is one of the major prophets. Isaiah, he was the one who wrote the book Isaiah, right? He prophesied under the reign of four Judea kings. And who are these four kings? He prophesied under Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He likely met his death under the fifth, okay, the evil king Manasseh, okay, the son of Hezekiah. Now, Isaiah 49 is part of the second major section of Isaiah. So basically, if you read the entirety of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, it It is divided into two sections. The first section is about God's judgment and character. If you read from Isaiah chapter 1 up to Isaiah 40 or 39, you will realize that it's all about the judgment of God, the warnings of God pertaining Israel. God, time and time again, would warn the nation regarding, you know, their, you know, the kind of behavior that they have towards God. So that was the first section. And the second section is about God's comfort and redemption. You see, not only that God was telling, you know, Israel or warning Israel about the impending judgment or the judgment, because half basically of what took place in Isaiah, they were already in captivity. So when he was prophesying, Isaiah was prophesying, he was already in captivity. And during, again, this time, like what I've said, they were already in Babylon. And while they were in Babylon, they faced so much difficulties and great discouragement. You know, who will be excited being, you know, being slaves in other nation? Of course, nobody, right? If you are a slave today, would you like that? Would you be really encouraged and rejoice because of your demise? Of course not. So now, what caused Israel or Israel's great trouble? Okay, that God had to abandon them. So if we again check, you know, trace back the history of Israel, two things basically would be highlighted with regards to their attitude. Okay, and then I want to share that to you. The first thing is they were stubborn. Okay, because of their stubbornness and rebellion, and that's the reason why God abandoned them. They want to live independent of God. And if you realize that many people are behaving the same thing up until now. Amen. A lot of people today, they want to live independent of God. That's the reason why they don't want to do anything about becoming a Christian. They don't want to do anything about, you know, going to the church or, you know, following Jesus, because they want to do what they, you know, that they want to do. They want to do their own thing. They never want to follow the Word of God. Because many times when, how many of you here at one point in your life, I was reminded of this, when I was not a Christian yet, my primary reason why I don't want to become a Christian is that because I will no longer enjoy, you know, all my vices. You know, that's my perspective. I was thinking, man, if I become a Christian, I have to give up all my vices. And I didn't like that. And same thing with these people. They were stubborn. They don't want to follow the Word of God. And the second one is they refuse to listen to God. And they harden their hearts. Even though God sends prophets. Okay, God sent prophets to speak to them. Not only Isaiah. How many prophets God sent over and over again? Time and time again, God would send prophets to Israel to warn them, to tell them about the impending judgment if they will not change. And yet, they would refuse to listen to the warning of God. So God had no choice but to hand them over to their enemies. So they were sent to Babylon and became slaves there. Much like the condition also of many people today, they were a slave of sin, isn't it? There's not in a cage, but spiritually there's, you know, that they are imprisoned or is enslaved because of their sin. They are in trouble because they refuse to listen or respond to God's word. I want to ask you this question. Why do you experience defeat? Why are you in pain? Perhaps the reason for that is you refuse to obey the will of God. You see, there's always a repercussion. You may enjoy it. How many of you here find sin enjoyable? You see, your flesh may enjoy it for a time, for a moment, but in the long run, if you refuse to listen to the voice of God, you will reap the repercussion of sin. Are you hearing me? So here, the Israelites, although the Israelites are God's chosen people, but now they were alienated from their land and their God. Not only that, they were now alienated, they were separated, they were taken captive into Babylon. But also now they are alienated to God because God had abandoned them and allowed their enemies, the enemies of Israel, to take over the nation. And they must have wondered by this time if there is still hope for them as a nation. You know, some people today, you know, that is the same feeling that they have. Especially during this pandemic, people would ask, is there hope? When is this pandemic going to end? Am I still, you know, have a chance to go back or to visit other places? You see, the Israelites, because of their stubbornness and disobedience to God, that was the reason why they were in that position. Now, if the first verse of Isaiah 49 were on an online blog, it would be in all caps or capital letters. God has a message not only for Israel alone, but to the whole world. If you look at verse 1, you know, verse 1 says, "Listen, you islands." Because God is saying something really important to the nations of the world. And it's like God is saying, are you listening? Or you better listen to what I am about to say. Now, why is this Isaiah's prophecy important for us today? When you read Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, particularly Isaiah 49, why is it important today? The prophecy is to give the world hope in the midst of crisis. Especially, again, during this time when people are becoming more hopeless because of the present condition, the present crisis. Question is, there must be the word that will bring hope to us to dispel hopelessness and discouragement. You see, when we are in deep trouble, it is important to receive a word from the Lord. Amen. How many of you here, you have received a prophetic word from God? Personal prophetic word. You know what happens when you receive a prophetic word? You get so encouraged, right? Not only that, you know, not only through a prophetic word, but when you are reading the word, when you're spending time with God, and the moment that you hear the voice of God telling you something about His word, what happens? There's hope. You know, you get excited, you get encouraged because of the word that you have received. That's what happens when we receive His Word, God's Word would always bring encouragement and hope. Now, what is the Word of the Lord for His people? Again, let's look at verse 5 of Isaiah 49. It says here, "And now the Lord says, He who formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him, and that Israel might be gathered to Him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." Now here, the Lord talks about Himself becoming what? Becoming a servant of God. Becoming a servant to God. Can you imagine? Why would the Lord have to be a servant? Why would the Lord would allow Himself to be a servant? Why not a warrior like David? Why not a wealthy king? Filthy rich king. Why a servant? Why not a rock star? Maybe today, if Jesus appeared today. Of course, He still would appear a servant, but people would question, why not a rock star? Why not a famous actor? Why not a politician instead? But why a servant? You know why? Because He came to serve the purpose of God. The very reason why Jesus came is not for Himself. He came to serve the purpose of God. He was just aligning to the very purpose of the one who sent Him. He doesn't have any agenda other than the agenda of the Father. And you can see that here. In John 4:34, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." What is your agenda? If I may ask. Because I want to say this. If Jesus calls us to be His followers and we are responding as followers of Jesus, what must be our agenda? I came to do the will of myself. Is that our agenda? Is that our priority? I am here to pursue my ambition. No. If we are called the followers of Jesus, we must follow the agenda of the one who's leading us. And that is the purpose of God. You see, brothers and sisters, do not be confused about your purpose in life. Your main purpose is to do the purpose of God. And no wonder a lot of people today, they are dissatisfied with their own lives. A lot of people, they are chasing after money. They are chasing after glory. They want to be famous. They want to become billionaires. There's nothing wrong about all this, but if that is your main purpose in life, I tell you, you may reach the top and you will find yourself having the same feeling empty in the inside. Look at King Solomon. If you study the life of King Solomon in the Bible, filthy rich, famous king, and as a matter of fact, the wisest king that ever lived in this earth. He wrote the book, many books in the Bible, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. He had about 1,000 wives and thousands of concubines. Imagine, he had everything in his life. But when you read his book, the book that he wrote, the book of Ecclesiastes, how he described life. His life, meaningless. He said, meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless under the sun. You see, brothers and sisters, we are not pursuing. You know, I hope the things of this world. That is the reason why the Bible talks about invest your life. Make investment of the things that will not be corrupted, will not disappear, but rather that is eternal. Amen? Why not try pursuing God's purpose instead of something else? Look at this. Also, Jesus said this, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus was saying, let your will be done. You know, he was about to be crucified. And he was struggling because he had to leave his disciples. He had to suffer death via the cross. And he was there praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says that his sweat turned into blood because he was agonizing as he was praying. He was pleading before God. His face fell when he prayed, My Father, if it is possible, but not my will, but yours be done. Is your life totally submitted to God? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? It's something that you should answer personally, right? Now, what is the servant going to accomplish through his obedience to God? What is Jesus going to accomplish? Now, here in verse 5, and now the Lord says, He who formed me from the womb to be servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. So this servant is called to bring back and gather Israel to God. That means salvation has come upon Israel. That is great, isn't it? Okay? But if you think about it, where would that leave us? If the Bible was just talking about the nation of Israel, how about us? If that chapter 49 ended in verse 5, we will all be in trouble. Because here, that means to say salvation is only for the Israelites, it's only for the Jews. If we're just talking about verse 5, can you imagine the Lord talks about salvation of Israel only? Now, how miserable our lives is if we are excluded from his salvation. But you see, the verse did not stop on verse 5, because we have another one in verse 6. He says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles. Praise God for that. Amen? Because Jesus becomes the light for the nations. And you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. I tell you, this is awesome. When I was reading this, I was talking, man, you know, at first, verse 5, God was talking about the nation of Israel being saved, being brought back from captivity and being restored back to God. And now, the Bible did this just stop about God saving the nation of Israel. But here in verse 6, he was talking about the entire world. That includes you and me. And that's the reason why we are here today, isn't it? Aren't you grateful that Jesus paved the way for us so that we can worship him as well? We have now access to the Father because of what Jesus has done for you and me. Jesus, or the Lord, is the servant who became the light for the nations. And that's something that we must remember, in the entirety of our lives, He is the servant who became the light for the nations. He sets us free from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. He, in other words, He transported us. We used to live in darkness. We used to be far away from God because of our sins. And now, because of Jesus, He brought us to Himself. He brought us near to God. Amen? God's light pierced through the darkness and brought salvation to the ends of the earth. You know, I don't know about you, I'm just excited. When I think about what Jesus had accomplished for you and me. You see, this church is not just about one nation. We are called every nation. Amen? We have, in other words, we have an assignment. Okay? We have to bring the nation to Jesus. He wants you to know that even in your darkest moment, God promises salvation and restoration. You see, God's assurance is not limited to the nation of Israel, but to all people of every nation. Let me ask you this question. What struggles are you going through today? Are you in pain? Are you hurt because somebody rejected you? Or maybe you are here today and you need to be delivered from sin. Look to Jesus. He is the light that pierces through the darkness, the deepest darkness of our hearts. In the midst of darkness, God's light shines brighter. No matter what nationality you belong, no matter what language do you speak, no, and what color you have, He came to deliver you from sin. When wickedness in the nations abounds, God's light shines brighter. So what the Lord will do as His light shines brighter, what will happen to every single one of us when His light shines upon us? And of course, many of us here, we already experienced the light of God coming upon our lives and your change. But those of you who are still wondering, what happens when the light of Christ comes upon me? And this is what will happen in verse 6, says, He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up, everybody say raise up, the tribes of Jacob and to bring back, say bring back, the reserves of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Three things. The first is raise up. You see, even for those of you, when you find yourself, you know, in the bottom of a hole, of a pit. How many of you know that God can raise you up? He can take you out from your trouble. Amen? His hand is reaching out to you. And I believe that is true to your, you know, it is no accident why you are here tonight. The hand of the Lord is extending towards you and reaching out to you because He wants you to be part of His kingdom. He's bringing you into His kingdom. And second is bring back or restore. He's able to restore you from miserable condition and gives you a fresh start. Everybody say fresh start. And there are some of you here, you need a fresh start in your life. Because there's something that transpired in the past that you want to forget. And you see, the only way for you to forget the past, it's via what Jesus did for you. Isaiah 40, it talks about those who hope upon the Lord will renew their strength. How many of you here, you need to be renewed? What do you need to do? Go to God. Go to Jesus. He will bring you back. He will restore you. He will give you a fresh start. And not only that, you know, He will also reach out. Amen? As a matter of fact, God is already reaching out to you because He wants to help change the trajectory of your life. Some of you here, you need the purpose of God. Okay, maybe when you are looking, you know, when you're looking from afar, it's like everything is foggy. You don't seem to see clearly what is before you. And some people, when they are confused, when they're, you know, overwhelmed by their problems, that is the condition. They can see from afar. Everything is cloudy. Everything is dark. You see, Jesus can deliver you from that. He will reach out to you and change you. As God's light appears, darkness will disappear. Amen? And so you just have to allow Jesus to reach his hand towards you so that you would experience change as you do that. As I land, I want to end in John chapter 8, verse 12. It says here, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Who is the light of the world? Jesus. And he said this, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. I love that. Whoever follows me. So the question again is this, are you following Jesus? So because if you follow Jesus, you will not walk in darkness but will have the light of life. Jesus is the life that shines through the darkness. And you see, when you are clothed with darkness, pitch dark around you, it's like, you know, you are inside a room in pitch darkness and you are groping around because you are disoriented. How many of you have tried that, being in a dark room and you're disoriented? You don't know where, if you're supposed to go to the left or to the right. You're groping and you feel so miserable, just like what I felt, you know, when I was in Baguio City. You know, when I was taking a bath, in a cold weather, worst feeling. And perhaps that is your situation tonight. You know, deep inside you, there is that trouble, that is the, you know, miserable feeling. You feel pitiful about yourself, but you feel helpless. And there is this cry inside of you. You're crying for help. I want to challenge you tonight, because there's only one person who can answer or who can help you in all your troubles. And that is Jesus, the light for the nations. He is here tonight, listening to the cries of your heart. And I hope, and my prayer is that you would surrender everything to Jesus and let His light shine forth. Just like Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Amen. I want us to stand on our feet.
Thank you for listening. For more podcasts and to give online, visit everynationmacau.org. God bless you.